Inside on Business, the News Hour with Mike Olivia, supported by Iowa Computer Repair. Keeping your business running, iowacomputerrepair.com. And the Strudel House, an Austrian restaurant and bakery, the taste of Europe in Des Moines, strudelhouse.com.
This is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us. If you don't know much about the Business News Hour, you can certainly find out more. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at IOB_NewsHour, our Facebook page. Or if you want to check out any of our long-form business interviews, just Google Insight on Business, the News Hour, and we will be right there. Speaking of those sorts of interviews, with us is the founder of Compass Financial, Kurt Pearson. He's a certified financial planner. Kurt has a passion of taking some complex issues and making them what we like to say crystal clear. Today we're going to talk a little bit about change in so many ways. It's going in on our private and our public world. Welcome back to the News Hour, Kurt. Good to have you here.
It is good to be here.
Now, since the last time we saw you, you've settled into your new offices and everything's going well.
Yes, it is. Very well.
Say hi to Jason Parkin for us, would you
please? I will do that.
Good friend.
We're proud to have Jason as part of the Compass team.
He is a good guy. Well, tell us, before we get into particulars, tell us about Compass Financial. What is it and what is it that you do?
Well, we are a financial planning firm, and what that means to us is that we charge by the hour to do true financial planning work for people. Most of the time, that begins with helping them with their cash flow habits and disciplines. The cash flow statement and the net worth statement are two very important documents that impact how we look at our money personally for our families. And so we really like to help people organize those two documents to begin with. And then we launch from there into typical goals, dreams, matching dollars with dreams is what we like to say at our firm.
And that's quite a bit different than many financial planners who take a chunk of the change on the front or the back end.
That's correct. I mean, most financial planning firms are really asset management firms, which we do that as well. But we like to start with those goals and those dreams, because we like to think that if someone knows what they really need their money to do for them, it will dramatically impact how they invest and what they do with those kinds of decisions.
Also, you've got a rich source of potential clients out there, because a long time ago they quit teaching that kind of stuff in school. And so money management has become a major factor in today's world.
It sure has. And we have no client minimums for our firm, so someone does not have to have $1 million of investable assets to get started. We like to meet people right where they're at and educate them so that they can make progress toward their financial goals.
Very good.
Yep.
All right. So over the past year, we've been witness, Kurt, to many changes. And those changes are bound to impact our professional and our personal lives. So let's spend some time on these areas of change that you've identified as critical thought starters for anybody, no matter where they happen to be in the financial world.
Yeah, so as the political season really heated up last year, it became obvious that most of the questions and concerns that the stock market was trying to digest, and the bond market, and several other capital types of markets were centered around two or three main broad subject matters. And, of course, the first one is fiscal policy. Fiscal policy, to define it, is how a government can adjust spending or tax rates to influence an economy in a country. And so I think it's very important now that the election is obviously over and we're looking at the inauguration and things coming up here. I think it's very important as we begin to see how the new administration will begin governing that we kind of take a look at this fiscal policy idea in this area and see how policies begin to take place and begin to take shape, and not so much even what's talked about, but what has the reality of becoming law, of getting passed, because that can really begin to influence then how a family begins to make their personal financial decisions.
Earlier today, we just had a story about that very same thing, where the Fed minutes were just released today. And they're taking a look and saying, you know, we might end up having to have more adjustments in the rate in 2017 than what we formerly thought, because given policy issues of infrastructure and tax cutting and some other things, we may have to beat down inflation somewhere along the line.
Yeah, that's a very, very much a concern that the Fed is taking a look at. What I would also add to that, though, is the uncertainty surrounding regulations. And, you know, the president-elect has been very strong about trimming back some of these regulations that we've seen put into place over the last 4 to 8 years. I don't know how successful the new administration will be with that. And I think the stock market especially will try to digest the level of success, not only the level of success, but how quickly the success can take hold, because that can impact a lot of outlook in terms of corporate balance sheets, profits, and the general direction.
You're absolutely right, Kurt. You know, it's one thing to say all kinds of things on a campaign trail, but it's another thing when you get to the point of governance.
That's right.
And that's what a lot of individuals who are perhaps a little cooler headed are looking at, saying, oh, wait a minute now, can we actually do these things? And there's lots of consideration with regard to that fiscal policy.
I read an interesting article today, I believe it was put out by Morgan Stanley, that cited the idea of buy the election, sell the inauguration.
There you go.
So there'll be a point here where the capital markets will begin to take a breather and say, okay, how realistic is the rally that we've seen since the election?
And when will we hit 20,000?
Exactly.
Kurt Pearson, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. We just were talking about fiscal policies. One of those change areas that he has triggered on that's going to be an impactor on all of our lives. What about these monetary policies?
Yeah, so the monetary policy is different than fiscal policy. Monetary policy is when a central bank takes action to influence interest rates and the general outlook of the economy.
Which we've seen over the past 8 years.
Yeah, exactly. And so now the impression or perception is that the Fed will be a little bit more active at potentially raising rates over the next 12 months. Of course, we heard that diatribe many, many times over the last 4 or 5 years. This time it seems to have maybe a little bit more credibility, because the perception is that the president-elect will have some growth policies that are actually going to take hold. Whether they actually do or not, it doesn't matter. What the Fed is watching is what is the perception that's out there. The perception so far has been very positive, and that's one of the reasons they raised rates, I believe, in December. Mm-hmm. And we could be looking at a couple more rate increases here over the next 12 months.
Well, if you look at it, GDP in the fourth quarter hit 2.9%, which is well over the Fed's target of 2%, and unemployment is down. So there's a lot of things that are coming into alignment with the Fed policy to say, okay, yes, we are going to start this system of raising rates and normalcy to our monetary system.
Yeah, so we have those immediate details, which you just cited. Those are juxtaposed against the total expansion details, which have been very disappointing. And so we are in the 90th month of the economic expansion, which is double the average expansions that we've had since, I believe, the 1900s. The GDP growth rate on average during those expansions has averaged like 2.8, 2.9%. So far during this expansion, we've averaged less than 2%, the last quarter notwithstanding. And so we are on a trend, perhaps, where this GDP growth is finally catching up with all the monetary easing that the Fed did. But I have to tell you, it's very interesting to watch, because the monetary easing that the Fed embarked on back in 08 and 09 was unprecedented. And so to have that going on, and only to have to be at this place where we have GDP growth that, in my opinion, is still anemic based on the monetary easing, very interesting to watch to see what they do.
Could some of that rationale be posted toward wage stagnation, however?
Absolutely.
So because wages have not kept up with prices, and so with stagnation in the wage category, GDP is bound to be sluggish.
That's a very good point, and it's one of the main reasons, because wages have been stagnant, it's one of the main reasons we haven't seen inflation roaring back to the place where the Fed would actually like to see it.
And let's talk about demographics for a moment.
Yeah. So two demographics that we really watch. One is baby boomers, and the last are millennials. Both demographic bases, interestingly enough, are being very conservative with their lifestyle mm-hmm. purchases for different reasons. The millennials don't have a lot of discretionary income yet, and what they do have is usually going to pay off student loan debt.
Correct.
Right? The baby boomers are now in a stage of life where they're beginning to realize, you know, I don't think we really need that new item quite as bad. We've been there, done that. We're going to get along. A lot of them are living on fixed incomes. So it's quite different than 10, 15 years ago. Regardless of those reasons, though, the impact that has on GDP isn't very positive. It doesn't light a fire under the economy because both groups, very large demographics in our country,
are not spending money,
are being very conservative.
Yeah, yeah. Three things, ladies and gentlemen, that Kurt has identified that could have an interesting effect on all of our lives. And Kurt, you've got a special seminar coming up to talk about this in depth. Tell us about that.
Yes, exactly. We have an economic outlook luncheon. We do this every year. This year it's on January 19th, a Thursday, over the lunch hour at our office. There's a free lunch involved.
Hey, there you go.
So
yeah.
There is such a thing as a free lunch. But we want to take these three ideas and then also make the connection to how that impact or could impact in 2017 our personal financial decisions.
Sure. I think that those three areas, fiscal policy, monetary policy, and interestingly enough, demographics, and you're absolutely right on that, dead on, that both the millennials, a huge swath of individuals, and the baby boomers are both holding back just a little bit for very different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you. Good stuff.
Well, thank you.
And so this is going to be on the 19th at your office.
Correct.
And folks are invited, and we'll have a link to register.
Yep.
On our radio blog so that people can find you and go there and find out what's going on.
Perfect.
Excellent. Works out for me.
Good.
Come back and see us again.
I will do that.
For crying out loud. Gee whiz, don't stay away so long.
All right.
All right. And Kurt Pearson, ladies and gentlemen, he is with Compass Financial. We've been talking about the three areas that he says is widely going to impact all of our finances moving forward, and particularly how fast we dig ourselves back out of that recessionary hole that we entered into in 2007, 2008. All right, we're going to step aside real quickly because we've got to check out what happened today on the markets. What happened with Wall Street? We will tell you the details when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.